gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Healthcare Summit Day, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Check it out. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of the Andy Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Chris, could you take your organ out for me, please? It's the, I think we all know my marriage to Hal Sparks is over. He is back in L.A. We lived in domestic bliss and wedded bliss for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like most things in my life, it has turned to... Okay. Well, at least this time I knew. I knew he was leaving yesterday. But he bought me printer cartridges before he left, and he put together my P90X chin-up bar.
Oh, that's nice.
And he also bought me a tool set because I didn't have the proper tools to put it together. He was the best husband I ever had for 2 days.
It's cheaper.
All right, bye-bye.
You know, all of that is cheaper than a hotel room in New York, so
yeah, exactly.
He got out scot-free.
Exactly. Exactly. Why, what are you implying, Chris? You know, I use Carbonite, by the way, to back up my computers. I believe I've mentioned it before. It gives me peace of mind. If I can't have Hal, at least I have my Carbonite. And I have all of my computer files if you want to. Don't want to risk yours. They're irreplaceable, right? Some of your files and photos. Back up your computer today with Carbonite. Remember, use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer, 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. All right. So, yes, by the way, I will find the Photoshop fun. Someone asked if what it looks like at my house was that scene from the pottery making scene from Ghosts for the last 2 days. That's exactly what it was. We made pottery nude for the last couple of days, just around the clock.
Sure you did.
Hal Sparks and I. Uh-huh. Well, because, as you know, I was on a Patrick Swayze kick because I stayed up watching Roadhouse the other night, which... You know, you may think, Chris is a girl thing, but you may think Dirty Dancing Patrick Swayze, dreamiest, Ghost Patrick Swayze, maybe even dreamier. No, I'm going to go with, because he's really buff and he beats up a lot of guys, just pure testosterone, the Roadhouse movie. I was transfixed.
I think you're forgetting a very important Beefcake moment, and that is Point Break.
Oh, that, you
and
know
I watched
what?
It last
okay.
night.
Patrick Swayze in a wetsuit, Miranda. What?
Topless,
what is better?
Surfing, long, curly blonde. Oh, my gosh.
That's true. That hair. The hair. You're absolutely right. Miranda, thank you for saving
yes,
me tonight.
It had to be said.
You know, because sometimes, Miranda, you don't want to go with the obvious, the Dirty Dancing Patrick or the Ghost, but you know.
I think I have to give up my girl card because I have never seen Dirty Dancing.
Oh, you're,
well, you're
fired.
You're also young, so...
We're also making references before your time. That's all right. Yeah, I that's the thing is I think it's only now that we're posthumously recognizing the true, the layers, the dreamy lasagna that was Patrick Swayze. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
One of a kind.
Because you don't want to go for the obvious, oh, Ghost, it's a romantic chick flick thing. And, oh, yeah, you know, like that whole mm-hmm. thing. You want to go with the, I think you're right. If you're quirky, like you and I, you go with Point Break or with the Roadhouse. And think the important thing is Shane has sent me a montage.
Roadhouse.
I'm all fired up because I watched Roadhouse the other night.
The only message in that movie is that every problem in life can be solved by kicking.
We need to get a little more Roadhouse on their ass.
Oh, my God. You're right.
1,990 pages. It's all been behind closed doors. A government takeover of our health care system.
Death panel.
Medicare cuts and tax increases. They want us to stop and start over.
Roadhouse. That was awesome. And its message is timeless.
Roadhouse.
Miranda, I would like to see kicking at today's healthcare summit, wouldn't you?
Roadhouse.
I think every problem could be solved by kicking.
A roundhouse to the face.
That's what I'm saying. Or just, you know, looking like you could. You know, I think somebody said that once. You know, Chris, you don't have to actually fight. You just have to look like you would.
Getting in the Chuck Norris stance.
So exactly. Sometimes you just have to break off a bottle and look like you're ready to go.
That's not going to happen at the healthcare summit. I think there's going to be a little bit of decorum
that
there.
That would be funny, right? A scene from Roadhouse. He just, Obama breaks off a bottle.
Do they really do that in Roadhouse?
And then he just puts it down. He doesn't say anything. Just saying.
Dramatic effect.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember the bottle breaking. Do you, Miranda?
No.
It's a lot of kicking, a lot of punching.
Throwing about a room.
That's not my kind of movie. really.
Well, I didn't think it was
like
mine
either.
Little try
depth.
It. Sometimes you don't know what you like till you try it.
I like a movie with a little depth.
That's all Miranda and I need. That was it was the depth of his abs and pecs. That was all we need. I was like, oh.
Depth and definition of character.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's
character.
It.
Oh, all right. By the way, so New York is kind of a perfect parable for Mama's life today. You know what, with my marriage being over technically last night.
Right.
Is when Hal left.
You got a quickie divorce.
Bye bye then.
Pardon me?
Quickie divorce.
Yeah. Anyway, there's giant snowflakes coming down. They're the size of giant palm fronds, and then they melt as soon as they hit the ground. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like an illusion.
Well, then what's the point of them?
Much like my happiness the last couple of days. They're giant. It's that combination rain snow that's so attractive, but they're giant things, and then they disappear immediately.
Ew.
The other thing that my life, once again, what always happens in my life, Chris, everything turns to...
Right.
So Max now apparently has the diarrhea.
As
you recall,
stories.
My stories of, yes, Fred caught something here in Calcutta where I've moved. I kept Giardia, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he had some other thing after that that also caused the same ass problem. He's had more ass problems than Glenn Beck.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? With his botched ass surgery. However, so he's all cured. And so last night, apparently, Max must have gotten diarrhea in the middle of the night because it's all over.
Oh.
The, yes, inside of the apartment. So I'll be calling the carpet cleaning company again, which will be, as you recall, from my misadventures in New York. Maybe $250 for just like this little area, that big size of a... Mm-hmm. And then there'll be probably another fecal sample, which that's mostly what my life consists of. We'll be gathering to see what's now happening with... it could be the giant bone that Hal Sparks bought him. I must say, I didn't want to be rude and refuse the bone, but they're not really used to the giant bone.
Well, yeah, dogs aren't supposed
to
have
real... That could be a lovely parting gift that my ex-husband gave me.
Dogs aren't supposed to have real bones.
Well, he got it at Whole Foods, so I suppose he thought it was healthy, but it was still a giant real bone.
Yeah. Because when dogs gnaw on them, the real bones tend to splinter, and then they might get lodged in.
Yeah, well, it's not a real bone. It's the bone you buy at the Whole Foods. It's made for dogs. So
oh, like a rawhide bone.
No.
Oh.
It's a real bone.
Oh, well then.
All right, anyway, my point is, thank you, Hal. Oh, dear. We all get those little parting gifts at the end of relationships, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right, at least this dog is not a dog in London. Did you see this? British rescuers say a dog chased a seagull and fell off a 300-foot cliff, and he's okay.
He's okay?
He fell into the ocean.
Oh.
Springer Spaniel. He's especially springy Spaniel, it sounds like.
Spaniels aren't known for their smarts.
Spaniels bounce. You know what? I had never heard of anything like that until you remember the story, Chris. The people that are renting my house, who I hope aren't listening right now, I've never heard of it. I have a deck in front of my house. It's quite a drop to the street.
Yes, it is.
And their dog jumped off my deck after a squirrel. And he's also fine.
Or after a boy band member. Who can say?
Who can say what he was chasing? But I thought dogs knew depth, don't they? They always say dogs know better than to, I thought.
Well, it depends on what kind
this
of dog it
perhaps
is.
Perhaps not.
Is their dog a spaniel?
No.
No?
No, but I saw a squirrel, but at a totally different eye level, and then, but he's fine.
Well, okay, if you ever saw the movie Up, that dogs freeze and point at squirrels when they see them.
That's what he should have done, is point and let someone else get it.
Yes, just say squirrel.
I'm not going to jump off this ledge, how about if you get that? Yeah. No, I know. Squirrels drive Fred insane, but he's never jumped off anything.
Maybe this dog is a city dog and is not used to country living.
I suppose we should get to the speaking of unfortunate animal stories.
Oh.
The SeaWorld thing, me, Chris, I'm a big animal lover, and because I know there's some, the behaviorists are saying maybe the killer whale was playing, and... All I'm saying is perhaps people shouldn't play with killer whales, is my point. It's much like the Siegfried and Roy thing. Like, perhaps tigers don't really like being tapped on the nose with things. You know what I'm saying? I think they belong in the wild. I just do. I don't, because this isn't the first time this has happened, this kind of, there's been a few trainers, right, injured or killed.
By this whale, yes.
Well, no, I mean, in other incidents, too.
Well yeah, but they're really, really few and far between. But this particular whale has gone after more than one trainer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's that might have been a clue. And I, from what I understand, SeaWorld in Orlando traded one of their killer whales for this particular killer whale.
Oh, that was a bad trade.
Under the assumption
that was like the one that Bush did, the Sammy Sosa thing.
Under the assumption that this particular whale would only be used to sire other whales. Yeah, and I for some reason
too much testosterone, too much killer in this particular whale. Perhaps.
I guess
he's a roadhouse whale, yeah. Miranda. You know what I'm saying?
Roadhouse.
That's all I'm saying. And magically the theme comes full circle.
Yeah, but for some reason they put this particular whale in the show, and this particular whale has.
Oh my God! Can you imagine
before.
In front of the spectators?
Yeah.
It's just like, is that part of the? You know, I mean, it's a. Speaking of dog stories, you know, my next door neighbor up here in she was my next door neighbor in New York last time I lived here. Mm-hmm. She's still my friend. She has a dog that's part coyote, and.
Why?
I don't know. He's very sweet, Simon. But sweet. When I say sweet to people, but it just reminded me it was a similar incident. We had a camp. It's an area called T-Town, which is like a nature preserve, and so they have like summer camps,
mm-hmm.
you know, with kids and stuff. And one time, Simon killed a deer right in front of all the campers, and that was quite the incident up there in Westchester. And they were not. But she was like, well, they're supposed to be learning about nature. That was, you know, that was a fairly graphic example.
You watch The Lion King to learn about the circle of life. You don't have to see it in person.
Yeah, but it was that kind of, you know, springtime for Hitler faces, but all the kids were just like, yeah. And then he did it once at the beach. He killed a seagull in front of a family. And so that's a...
Domesticated animals are not supposed to kill like that.
Well, he's part coyote. He's part, you know what I'm saying. And he's.
What if it were an
sweet
infant?
Dog? I'm just saying, maybe.
What if it were
wild
an infant?
Animals, people, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying it was, All right. Yeah, and the family was very, you know, they were sort of, you know, that look of, oh, look at the pretty sweet guy. Oh, you know, so they thought at first it was cute. Like, oh, look at the dog chasing the, oh, no.
Oh.
Dear, as my mother would say.
Yeah.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Lots to get to today. Very excited. We will go live to the healthcare forum. Not for all 6 hours. We don't even work that long.
No.
But we will check in on that. I'm very excited about it. Our thoughts and yours on what will happen today. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lots to talk about the Toyota hearings, the economy, and much more as we continue on the Oh, Stephanie Miller Show. You're giving me that look, and I know why you're giving me the look.
Yeah.
It's the time when I tell my I did my P90X workout yesterday. Have you done the, what's it called, plyometrics?
I don't think I've gotten to that one yet.
Oh, kick ass. It is. Can I just tell you something? It reminds me, this is how it's going to keep you young and get you in amazing shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the old drills I used to do for, like, basketball back in the DeSales Catholic League. And, like, I feel like I'm back in high school.
Doing calisthenics.
At first you think I can't do this. And then, but he was saying that, you know, Tony Horton, who is the trainer on the tapes, I mean, this is how elite athletes get in that kind of shape, whether it's gymnastics or yoga or whatever. They combine the moves of everything in this workout. It's unbelievable. And you get strength training, cardio, yoga, and every day it's something different. I get to do it at home with my doggies,
yep.
Which I love, and it's just an amazing workout. And at first you think, oh, I can't, and then you're like, yes, I can. And Tony always says, do your best and forget the rest. So when you start out, I had to make my girl confessions yesterday, didn't I?
Yes.
I have to do knees down for push-ups, for God's sakes, I can't. How put my chin-up bar, I can't really do any chin-ups yet, but you use a chair at first, you work your way up.
Right.
So imagine how we're all going to feel in 90 days. P90X, take the challenge with Mama. Do it now. You don't have anything to lose. Listen to this. 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days, and if you aren't completely satisfied, return it for a refund. How about that? Call 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com now. Click on that banner ad, won't you? 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Miller.
Happy Healthcare Summit Day, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join our little party. Representative Ron Kind coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. All right, so, wow, it's another edition of, proving our point exactly. Internal WellPoint emails reveal company increased premiums to maintain higher profits. That was such a good idea originally, wasn't it, Chris? Whoever made the healthcare industry for profit.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody saw Keith Olbermann's special comment last night about his dad, who is not doing well, but just, I know, I say best one ever, and I won't even make the joke except the one where he says,
Stephanie Miller.
Because this was, pretty extraordinary and
Stephanie
personal.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, that's the problem. Did you also, the other great TV moment yesterday, did you see Anthony Weiner on the floor of Congress? How awesome and how hilarious. He got put in the penalty box like three times.
Really?
And then he went off again about the Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance company. Insurance companies.
Well, it's true. He got put in the penalty box?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, people are passionate, whether it's a Keith Olbermann or an Anthony Weiner, because people, this is life or death.
Yeah.
And it's about the way people live and die, and I think it's like Anthony Weiner was like, enough already. This is enough. This stops now. I mean, it's just because he was even saying, you know, you can't almost even blame just the insurance company. They're doing what they're supposed to. Companies want to make profit, but who thinks this is okay? The amount of profit they're making. A series of internal company emails, revealed WellPoint was raising premiums simply to increase profits. The average increase is 23%, is intended to return California to a target profit of 7% versus 5% this year. No mention of people in there, Chris. No mention of people's pain or suffering or
right.
How you might do that, how many people you might have to drop or how many people you might have to deny things that they need. We're asking for premiums that would put us $40 million favorable. Yeah, like most of our businesses this year. Who isn't? Who isn't, making that much money?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, the sums really are staggering. But anyway, I mean, Anthony Weiner just like went, like point by point, that's the thing is people may not know the inner workings, but he's like, we asked for this, we tried this, the Republicans said no. We asked for this, you said you want this, you said no. We tried that, you know. So, I mean, he's even talking about how, you know, we're even trying just a little sliver of reform to health in the health insurance industry the Republicans are against. I think people are fired up. May I borrow a phrase, Chris? I believe people are fired up and ready to go at today's healthcare summit.
I think so.
And then the other thing, I don't know if you saw Rachel Maddow with Senator Boxer, but it was like it was a schooling yesterday in the United States of America on television, I must say, because you have got to stop Republicans in their tracks when they try to lie like they've been doing the whole time about health care.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the nuclear option. That is not what this refers to.
Right.
Reconciliation. And I mean, thank God Senator Boxer she put it on the record. She said, you can't just make up these facts. It's in the congressional record. Republicans have used reconciliation, I forget how many, you know, whatever. I mean, the majority of times and how many times, and it's a lot of times.
It is.
And they keep trying to make it sound like this is completely unprecedented. It's going to explode the Senate.
And that is an out-and-out lie.
Yeah, it's the nuclear option. No, that is not what this refers to. That, I mean, people maybe not don't get it, Chris. That's an entirely different. It referred to judicial nominees, and we can go back and tell you what it meant. This is not what this is.
Right.
This is the way Republicans have passed bills time and time and time again. 29 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
An older woman in her 40s, single and on the prowl for a younger man.
Got one. Lost him.
much.
Oh, well. And then he ruined my chances by revealing that I sleep in flannel dog pajamas.
Well.
I'm trying to create the illusion that I sleep in a sexy negligee and pumps.
I don't even have that.
High heels.
I don't even have that impression.
Sure. Yes, that's what I sleep in. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've seen what you wear to work. You are a comfort gal only. You only dress for comfort.
I'm built for comfort, not for speed.
Exactly.
All right. 1-800-712, the phone number. Billy in D.C. on the public option. Hey, Bill.
Oh, Billy couldn't hold, but we have Ben in Rockville.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, listen, I got a great idea. When Obama goes to the summit today, the first thing he should say is, by executive order, unless you are a veteran, no member of Congress and their families can now utilize the VA health care system unless they are overseas or in a state of emergency. The VA system is government health care, and if you don't believe in it, you don't get it.
Yeah, that'd be funny. And then see how quickly we get health care passed. They'll just
I'd love to see Boehner's face. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, he might actually go white, which would be quite a feat for someone with that much bronzer.
Healthcare makes your life easier, Boehner. Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
exactly. And then when they say, well, how come you get it, we don't get it, because I'm their boss, you're just their accountants.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Ben. All right, the president talking about the big meeting today, which starts in about a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tomorrow I look forward to a good exchange of ideas at the Blair House with some legislative leaders. And I hope everyone comes with a shared desire to solve this challenge, not just score political points.
Mm. And you know the Republicans are down with that.
Sure.
Did you see what a John Boehner? What a Boehner! Did you see what he said?
John Boehner.
I think we should. I'm gonna crash the party. Hey, you were invited, Nimrod.
You can't crash a party that you were invited to.
Don't you love them desperately trying to spin this whole thing? Boehner suggested the summit was some kind of trap. Yeah, can you see that? Chris, did you see how they were bitching about the size of the table and which way where they're going to be seated and how big the room is
and whether there was
why
gonna
can't
be a,
we have it?
A podium?
Why? We're not going to sit at the kids' table. The his peas touched my carrots.
Yes, they made a requirement that everybody be at the same height.
Yes, because they were going to put Boehner in the high chair, right? Because he tends to cry so much. Here comes that public option helicopter. Here comes.
They were going to put him at the card table in the kitchen.
Sure, he should be.
Yeah.
He took. He told his conference yesterday he decided to attend in order to crash the party.
But.
He said, we shouldn't let the White House out a six-hour taxpayer-funded infomercial on Obamacare. We need to show up. We need to crash the party.
But he was invited. Lots of Republicans were invited.
That was the whole point, is that you are invited to talk about the problem together. And if you're a good boy, you finish, then you see we won't have to use a timeout called reconciliation. You see? Okay. President.
Our proposal contains good ideas from Democrats and Republicans and healthcare experts across the spectrum.
Okay. Can I just say there's a little bit of a meow factor still with the Democrats on it? I mean, what do the Republicans have to do before you think, you know, maybe they're really not going to be helpful in any way here? An idea that seemed toxic only weeks ago, something the Republicans did all the time when they were in power, using a parliamentary tactic to pass health care, is gaining acceptance among modern Democrats who have resisted the strategy but now say Republican opposition may force their hands. Just now? They're noticing Republican opposition? The implications of these subtle... You know, this is what kills me about these conservadems. Like, how politically safe does something have to be? It's like, oh, okay... When the entire American public can see on TV what obstruction is boobs, the Republicans are okay. Well, maybe then. I mean, it's just whatever. Okay. The implications of the subtle shift among this small group of center senators could mean the difference between success and failure for health care reform, giving Democrats a potential roadmap for passing the bill. Democrats remained hesitant about using the procedure, fearful that Republicans will be successful in convincing voters that it's an end run around the normal legislative process, except that it's not.
Right.
It is not a trick. This is what Senator Boxer was saying last night. It's a rule. It's a Senate rule. It's not a. It is amazing how, you know, And I think Rachel did it and others. Go back and play the tape. You play the tape of during the Bush years, they said the exact opposite.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a parliamentary trick then. It wasn't a nuclear option then. Who was it? Oh, my God. Senator Boxer last night, hilarious. I hope the president reads this quote today. Eric Cantor, he said, this was, however, you know, back during the Republican majority or the Bush years, he said, I like reconciliation. I hope we use it all the time. I mean, even Harry Reid, hello, yesterday we played the clip. He said Republicans should stop crying over reconciliation as if it's never been done before.
Absolutely.
It's been done by almost every Congress, and they're the ones who've used it more than anybody else. Contract for America, done with reconciliation. Tax cuts, done with reconciliation. Medicare, done with reconciliation. Senator, and you've still got Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, people like him saying, if Democrats try to jam the bill through this strange process.
Strange?
To get votes. They'll just be guaranteeing themselves a political kamikaze mission in November. Ooh, me thinks someone sounds a scared.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you want, is the political destruction of the other party, why would you want to stand in the way of that? Gee, maybe because you know the American people want health care and the Democrats and the president are going to win politically when it gets done. I mean, please, how transparent is this? Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That's really going to hurt you politically. And you know we only have your political best interests at heart. We always have.
Whatever.
Okay. This strange process? Look at that. Lamar Alexander, it just grew like a sea monkey yesterday. Why, I've never seen. What is this?
It's like a fungus floating in.
It's this strange process where the people in Avatar turn into the blue people. What? I've never seen such a thing done. This strange process. Unbelievable. All right. Valerie Jarrett, a senior Obama advisor. Yesterday.
We are optimistic. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But if people come tomorrow prepared to really roll up their sleeves and work hard on behalf of the American people, the people who elected them here, we're confident that we can make progress.
Oh, okay. Or we'll just cry uncle after 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just do it already. Oh, it's been a year. It's been actually more than that. It's been how many years since whichever Roosevelt? Okay. Senator Mitch McKinless.
If the White House wants real bipartisanship, then it needs to drop the proposal it posted Monday, which is no different in its essentials than anything we've seen before, and start all over.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that you said you wanted in there, which are in there.
Right.
You just have to drop that as well, because where do they keep getting this thing? The American people want you to scrap the bill. No, they don't.
No.
They want you to get it done. They want you to sit down in a room today and get the friggin' thing done. And, you know, and get some controls over our health care premiums.
It's because of this obstructionism that approval ratings for Congress are down at 10%.
Yeah, I mean, they know that.
Yeah.
It's the only way they can drag Democrats down with them. I mean, it's just... scrap the proposal thing is just... and they just keep saying it. First of all, clearly the president is not going to scrap the proposal. He's told you what he's going to do in this meeting and what the meeting is for. Mm-hmm. He has put his ideas on the table. Bring your ideas. Don't you? It's like they're literally like, yours are bad.
They haven't brought any of their ideas. So, you know, we're going with
some of their ideas are in there. That's what we've been working on for a year. Oh, the boner.
We've got the facts on our side. We're going down there tomorrow speaking on behalf of the American people who've made it perfectly clear that they want this bill scrapped and they want us to start over.
Uh-huh. No, that is a lie.
You're a lying sack of crap. Mm-hmm. You're a lying sack of crap.
If they keep repeating the lie, it will become true? Like Pinocchio becoming a real boy?
The boner speaks for the people, as you know. Okay. Representative Thaddeus McCotta, Republican of Michigan.
In fairness, it was not Republicans that stopped this bill from being passed. It was the Democratic Center that decided they did not want to support this and the numbers necessary to pass a final bill.
Okay, first of all, a bill passed the House and the Senate.
Absolutely.
They keep putting that lie out there, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what reconciliation is, by the way. It's reconciling the Senate and the House bills and getting a final bill and passing it. And that's what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep up. All right, Billy in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Stephanie, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, this is something I've been thinking of, and I'm wondering why people haven't talked about it that much. We all know that the majority of the American people are in favor of a public option when explained to them, correct?
Right, right.
Okay, so now we see the recent polls that say 49% of America aren't happy with the current health care bill and don't want to see it pass. 43% are. So the Republicans are using that to tout, well, the American people aren't in favor of this bill. Well, no, not necessarily. I think that there's actually a lot of these people that aren't in favor of the current bill because it gives too much to the Republicans and it feeds exactly into what they want, which is a bad bill, which will later on down the road, you know, waste money, not help people, and then they can look back and say, oh, see, we told you, this is a bad bill. I mean, their goal is to not make government work.
Anthony Weiner said this, is to weaken it and weaken it and weaken it, and that's why
it's Grover Norquist. Make it so small that it drowns in a bathtub, and that's what they're trying to do. And they realize if health care passes and everyone is covered, then they're on the losing side of an issue, and they will not have any place to sit, stand, or walk.
Mm-hmm. You know, Billy, I totally get your points. I think we have to get this done today. I think, you know, I look, that's not where I wanted to go. I mean, obviously, many of us started like Anthony Weiner at single payer. But what I'm saying is I do understand the lawmakers we've had on that talk about civil rights and Medicare and Social Security. I think we have, this is a start. There are good things in here, and then we have to go back over time and strengthen it. I think we've got to start somewhere.
I agree. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and something has to be passed. But it's just they're not controlling their debate, and they're not calling them to the
right.
carpet when the Republicans say the American people want a health care bill, they want health care reform.
Right. Well, Billy, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens today. Your points are absolutely dead on, but that's why I'm saying that. So now is the time to fight. Now is when you get on the phones, you get involved, you watch this thing today, and you push them for a public option now is the time where, you know, I know we've all had health care fatigue. But now's not the time to lay down. All right. Thank you, Billy.
And the best thing to do is to sit down, write a letter, put it in an envelope, send it with a stamp.
Right.
That gets the most attention in Washington.
Yep. Absolutely. Listen, I'm someone that has a paper calendar and I have a paper phone book with numbers in it. So
do
trust
you really?
Me on the stamps and things and the old-fashioned letters. Mama will get her quill pen out today.
Wait a minute. You have a BlackBerry. You don't keep your contacts in there?
No. Well, some.
Oh, Stephanie.
I know. All right. 40. Stop it. My ex-husband was saying that for the last 2 days. Oh,
Stephanie.
You're so old. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Ooh, we are T-minus 10 minutes and counting. Less than 10 minutes to the big healthcare summit. Dow is down 157 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will go to some of that live to get a little flavor flave of what the healthcare summit is going to look and sound like in just a few minutes.
I hope flavor flave isn't a part of this healthcare summit.
Adam in Toronto, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Adam, I saw those signs after the U.S. Beat Canada in hockey. Did you see the signs? They said, at least we have healthcare.
Yes, that's very true, and it's funny because Dick Cheney experienced Canadian health care this weekend, which I find very ironic. You know, the system where he doesn't have to worry that he had four heart attacks before.
Yeah,
and was,
exactly. Who else can afford five heart attacks in America and still be walking around?
And didn't have to worry about him hitting a ceiling limit for how much money was spent upon him. Mm-hmm. You know, you are 50 years, 50 years behind us now. And it's getting so sad that it's about geography now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stephanie, if you had left the land of top friendly markets on Irv Weinstein and moved 20 miles west.
Yes.
Right.
You would have never, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brother would never, ever have to worry about this That's how sad it's getting. It's about geography. It's about being where you were raised and grown. And
wow, and I haven't heard an Irv Weinstein reference. I don't know how long. He was our local news anchor, Chris, in Buffalo. He looked like Ernie on My Three Sons.
Oh dear.
Oh, he's famous. There's a four-alarmer in Tonawanda. It was great TV.
Tonawanda. All right, thank you, Adam. He's a home slice. Charlie in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, I got to check the Overman special comment last night and then followed up with the Anthony Weiner on the floor, which was amazing.
Yep.
I only wish he had gone a little bit further and taken a page from your show yesterday. I think you had a guest talking about Al-Qaeda and how we're doing their job for them. But they need to point out that, you know, when 4,000 Americans were killed by terrorists, they totally and blindly signed on to spending trillions of dollars fighting a philosophy or an idea which can't be done.
Right.
And no thought whatsoever to how that was going to be paid for. And what are they going to do now that tens of thousands of people are dying for lack of affordable health care?
Mm-hmm.
It's just astounding how blind they are to that fact.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was brilliant. The Keith Olbermann special comment, in case you missed it, his dad is not doing well. And he talked about how we need life panels. They are really life panels, the kind of end of life care his father had that he wants everyone to have. And it's just, you know, these lies that they just keep telling.
Well, that coupled with Anthony Weiner on the floor just kept me up for hours. Oh, just it was amazing.
Yep,
well,
I know.
Thank
it was,
you for
it was,
the great work.
Thank you, honey. Oh, it was political boy porn for me. It was just...
And there I was watching Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, I'm sorry, little feller. Someone has to do it.
Uh-huh.
Ben in D.C. on reconciliation. Hi, Ben.
Yeah, I would like to just quickly describe what the nuclear option was, because I think the Republicans can only thrive as long as there's misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to not allow a filibuster of judges, and they were going to change the Senate rules to not allow a filibuster.
Thank you.
Senate rules require...
Thank you. That was what the nuclear option was. It was going to get rid of the filibuster forever.
And it was the way they were going to get rid of it that made it called the nuclear option, because the Senate rules require a 2/3 vote to change the rules.
Right. We're not talking about changing Senate rules. We are talking about using an existing Senate rule reconciliation to pass something.
That's the important second part of the argument. The first part is that they were going to change the rules by a 50-vote majority rather than the 67-vote supermajority that the rules required. So they were going to break the rules to change the rules. That's why that was the nuclear option. And as you just completely correctly stated, what the Democrats are doing is consistent with the rules. So
thank you.
Thank you for spreading the truth in that great way you do. Love you, Steph.
Aw, thank you, honey. All right. Yeah, I listen, it's the truth with fart jokes. What else can we do here?
And slide whistle.
Thank you. And slide whistle. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know that the Republicans aren't honest brokers because for months they bitched and moaned about the health plan being posted online, and then they were going to post their plan. And it is 9:56 by my Eastern Standard Time, and I haven't seen a Republican health plan. So what are they bringing to the table other than whining?
Yeah, exactly.
And
there's a piano in the room.
No, I'm telling you, they're really just like... They're like Barbaby, you know, when she says she promises to do things and then she's going to behave herself, but then she just can't help herself and she'll say or do anything to get her way in the moment, no matter whether she's lying one second after another. So as long as Obama brings his good parenting skills to the meeting today,
I hope, Sue, he invites the boner to come and sit and play a duet of Heart and Soul on the piano before... Come on, who can resist that? Someone starts playing that one part, and you're like, okay, do.
But the boner doesn't know which one to do.
Right.
He doesn't know which part he has to play.
He's like, why do I have to go play this part? Why? What? Okay, thank you, Sue. Why are you making me play that? That's like the sissy part. I'm going to play that.
Oh, and Sue mentioned the bar baby, too.
Look at you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Yeah, Sue once brought a baby to see me in a bar in Washington. All right, Sharon, Sharon in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to comment on those clips that you play of the representative leader saying, we know the American people don't want this bill, but I don't think he's exactly lying. I think what he means is that those are his campaign contributors, and those those are his American people. If you're a Democrat, then your American people definition means the people who voted for you. So I like your comments about the sponsorship signs. Every time one of these Republicans gets up there, the media should have a responsibility to attach, like, pop-up video little
yep.
signs that say who their sponsors are.
Exactly. Bloop. The following senator is brought to you by Aetna. Mm-hmm. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Here we go, rock and roll. Time for the big healthcare summit. We will join it live in progress right after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, baby. Time to feel good. Healthcare Summit here. The president is in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis is in the building.
Oh.
Six minutes after the hour.
He's not Elvis, Stephanie.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deedee, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, he's timing this perfectly for me. The president is sitting down now. We will join this in progress when the president starts speaking here. He timed this just for my show.
Yeah. Oh, and there's the vice president sitting down next to him.
Joe Biden taking a seat.
Welcome. Thank you so much for participating today. I am... very grateful to all of you, because I know how busy you are.
What
I want to do is just make a few brief remarks on the front end, and then we're going to allow leadership from both the House and the Senate to make some opening remarks, and then we will dive in. Last year, obviously, was one of the toughest years we've had on record, and all of us, in one way or another, were devoted to focusing on breaking the back of the recession, restoring economic growth, putting people back to work. We've still got a long way to go. And so I know both the House and the Senate are interested in how do we propel economic growth forward, how do we create more jobs. I was very pleased to see a glimpse of bipartisanship in the Senate recently in passing a jobs bill, and I hope that continues, and I know there are going to be some additional pieces of legislation moving forward around, for example, making sure that small businesses can get financing. And those are the kinds of things that I think all parties and both chambers should be able to agree to. So
Pelosi's like, you call that a
very much
bill.
Looking forward to working with you on all those issues. I have said repeatedly, I said at the State of the Union, I said last night when I was meeting with the Business Roundtable, that in addition to dealing with the immediate challenges we face in the recovery, it's absolutely critical that we also look at some fundamental structural problems in our economy that are hurting families, hurting businesses, and having an impact on the exploding deficits and debts that the federal government, but also state governments, are carrying. And it's for that reason that last year, around this time, actually, I hosted in the White House a healthcare summit and indicated to Congress that it was absolutely critical for us to begin now moving on what is one of the biggest drags on our economy and represents one of the biggest hardships that families face.
Thank you.
Some of you know that I get 10 letters out of the 40,000 that I receive every day for me to take upstairs to the residents and read every single night. And these are letters from all across the country, constituents from every walk of life. And I can tell you that at least 2, sometimes 5 of the 10 letters relates to the challenges that people are experiencing in healthcare every single day. I'll get letters from parents whose children have pre-existing conditions, and maybe those children were able to get health insurance when they were young, but now they're growing up, they're about to move out, and they can't get insurance no matter what job they find. I hear from small businesses who have
just opened up their new rates from their insurance company, and it turns out that their rates have gone up 20, 30, in some cases 35%. I hear from families who have hit lifetime limits, and because somebody in their family is very ill, at a certain point they start having to dig out of pocket, and they are having to mortgage their house, and in some cases have gone bankrupt because of health care. So this is an issue that is affecting everybody. It's affecting not only those without insurance, but it's affecting those with insurance. And when you talk to every single expert, and you just talk to ordinary people, and you talk to businesses, everybody understands that the problem is not getting better, it's getting worse. Right now, it's projected that premiums for families with health insurance, not people without health insurance, but with health insurance, will almost certainly double over the next decade, just as they doubled over the past decade.
And that's not good for Stephanie Miller International.
Markets, it's even worse. Businesses are having to make decisions about just dropping coverage altogether for their employees. If they're not doing that, then the money that they are spending on health care is money that otherwise could have gone to job creation. And I don't need to tell people here about the effects on the federal budget.
Yeah, I may have to lose some dead weight on this
we've
show.
We've got some people who have been working a very long time on figuring out how can we control the huge expansion of entitlements. Almost all of the long-term deficit and debt that we face relates to the exploding cost of Medicare and Medicaid. Almost all of it. I mean, that is the single biggest driver of our federal deficit. And if we don't get control over that, we can't get control over our federal budget. Now, I'm telling all of you things you already know. Maybe more personally, I should just mention the fact that I now have about as good health care as anybody could have. I got a doctor right downstairs. And all of us, when I was in the Senate, and all of you as House and Senate members, have good health care. But remember, maybe when you were younger, when you were first starting off, I can certainly remember Malia coming into the kitchen one day and saying, "I can't breathe, Daddy," and us having to rush her to the emergency room because she had asthma. Or Sasha, when she was a baby, getting meningitis and having to get a spinal tap and being on antibiotics for 3 days and us not knowing whether or not she was going to emerge okay.
I didn't know that.
In each of those instances, I remember thinking while sitting in the emergency room, what would have happened if I didn't have reliable health care? My mother, who was self-employed, didn't have reliable health care, and she died of ovarian cancer. And there's probably nothing that modern medicine could have done about that. It was caught late, and that's a hard cancer to diagnose. But I do remember the last 6 months of her life, insurance companies threatening that they would not reimburse her for her costs, and her having to be on the phone in a hospital room arguing with insurance companies when what she should have been doing is spending time with her family. I do remember that. Now, everybody here has those same stories somewhere in their lives. Everybody here understands the desperation that people feel when they're sick. And I think everybody here is profoundly sympathetic and wants to make sure that we have a system that works for all Americans. I was looking through some of the past statements that people have made, and I think this concern is bipartisan. John McCain's talked about how rising health care costs are devastating to middle-class families. Chuck, you've been working on this a long time. You've discussed the unsustainable growth in Medicare and Medicaid in our budget. Mike Enzi, who's worked on this and partnered with Ted Kennedy for, on a range of health care issues as the chairman of the committee. You know, you said that small businesses in your home state are finding it nearly impossible to afford health care coverage for their employees. And you said the current system's in critical condition. And, Mitch, you know, you've said that the need for reform is not in question. And obviously there are comparable statements on the Democratic side as well. So here's the bottom line. We all know this is urgent. And unfortunately, over the course of the year, despite all the hearings that took place and all the negotiations that took place and people on both sides of the aisle worked long and hard on this issue, and you know, this became a very ideological battle. It became a very partisan battle, and politics, I think, ended up trumping practical common sense. You know, I said to the State of the Union, and I'll repeat, I didn't take this on because I thought it was good politics. This is such a complicated issue that it's inevitably going to be contentious. But what I'm hoping to accomplish today is for everybody to focus not just on where we differ, but focus on where we agree. Because there actually is some significant agreement on a host of issues. Now, I've looked very carefully at John Boehner's plan that he put forward. I've looked at
the
Tom
look on
Coburn
Boehner's face.
And,
oh my
Senator
God!
Burr's plan that's been put out there. Paul Ryan has discussed some of the issues surrounding Medicare. I've looked at those very carefully. You know, Mike Enzi, in the past, you've put forward legislation around small businesses that are very important. And so when I look at the ideas that are out there, there is overlap. It's not perfect overlap. It's not 100% overlap. But there's some overlap. Now, what I did, what the White House did several days ago, was we posted what we think is the best blend of the House and the Senate legislation that's already passed. The basic concept is that we would set up an exchange, meaning a place where individuals and small businesses could go and get choice and competition for private health care plans, the same way that members of Congress get choice and competition.
Thank you. That's what we want.
Their health care plans. For people who couldn't afford it, we would provide them some subsidies. But because people would have some pooling power, the costs overall would be lower because they'd be in a stronger position to negotiate.
Yes.
We think it is a plan that works with the existing system, the employer-based system, the private health care system, but allows a lot of people who currently don't have health care to get health care. More importantly, for the vast majority of people who do have some health care, it allows them to get a better deal. We also have some insurance reforms in there that, for example, prohibit people who have pre-existing conditions from being banned from getting coverage. We also talk about how we can help to make the Medicare system more effective and provide better quality care. In each of these cases, there are corresponding ideas on the Republican side that we should be able to bridge. So I promise not to make a long speech. Let me just close by saying this. My hope in the several hours that we're going to be here today, that in each section that we're going to discuss, how do we lower costs for families and small businesses? How do we make sure that the insurance market works for people? How do we make sure that we are dealing with the long-term deficits? How do we make sure that people who don't have coverage can get coverage? In each of these areas, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by saying, here's some things we agree on. And then let's talk about some areas where we disagree and see if we can bridge those gaps.
You lie.
I don't know that those gaps can be bridged.
And it may be that at the end of the day, we come out here and everybody says, well, you know, we have some honest disagreements. People are sincere in wanting to help, but they've got different ideas about how to do it. And we can't bridge the gap between Democrats and Republicans on this. But I'd like to make sure that this discussion is actually a discussion and not just us trading talking points. I hope that this isn't political theater, where we're just playing to the cameras and criticizing each other, but instead are actually trying to solve the problem. That's what the American people are looking for. As controversial as the efforts to reform health care have been thus far, when you ask people, should we move forward and try to reform the system, people still say yes. They still want
all right.
to see
20 minutes after the hour. Good stuff. Damn, he's good.
Yeah, he's 20. Good. He looks presidential, and they're going to look like a bunch of obstructionist weenies.
Oh, there's more. I'll make more popcorn. We'll continue after the break as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. How fast could your business take off if it was featured by me in an upcoming LegalZoom spot? Stay tuned. February is National Start Your Business Month, and LegalZoom is making it simple and affordable to start your business and take it to the next level. Whether your business is just getting off the ground, a work-from-home, or already thriving business, chances are you need some important legal documents. Maybe it's time to incorporate or file a DBA, or maybe you want a trademark. LegalZoom can save you a bundle on virtually any legal document. If you completed at LegalZoom this month, you could be featured in an upcoming LegalZoom spot. Plus, when you incorporate or form an LLC through LegalZoom this month, you'll get a free website design and marketing package, including domain name and hosting for 30 days. It's National Start a Business Month. Get moving with LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. February is National Start a Business Month. For even more savings, enter Stephanie at checkout. Go now, LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We join Republican Lamar Alexander in progress at the healthcare summit.
Taxpayers in Louisiana paying less than taxpayers in Tennessee. And what's fair about protecting seniors in Florida and not protecting seniors in California and Illinois and Wyoming?
So it's scrapping the whole bill argument as to why that will be helpful.
That this is a car that can't be recalled and fixed and that we ought to start over. But we'd like to start over. When I go down on the floor, and I've been there a lot on this issue, some of my Democratic friends will say, well, Lamar, where's the Republican comprehensive bill? And I say back, well, if you're waiting for Mitch McConnell to roll in a wheelbarrow in here with a 2,700-page Republican comprehensive bill, it's not going to happen because we've come to the conclusion that we don't do comprehensive well. We've watched the comprehensive economy-wide cap and trade. We've watched the comprehensive immigration bill. We have the best senators we've got working on that in a bipartisan way. We've watched the comprehensive health care bill, and they fall of their own weight. Our country's too big, too complicated, too decentralized for Washington, a few of us here just
so
to write a few rules about remaking 17% of the economy all at once. That sort of thinking works in a classroom, but it doesn't work very well in our big, complicated country. And it doesn't work for most of us. I mean, if you look around the table,
that was
I'm sure
it's true
on the Democratic side, is it on the Republican? We've got, you know, shoe store owners and small business people and a former county judge, and we've got three
folks.
Doctors. We've got people who are used to solving problems step by step. And that's why we said 173 times on the Senate floor in the last 6 months of last year.
Jim?
We mentioned our step-by-step plan
Egghead.
For reducing health care costs. And I'd like to just, mention those in a sentence or two. You mentioned Mike Enzi's work on the small business health care plan. That's a good start. It came up in the Senate. He will explain why it covers more people, costs less, and helps small businesses offer insurance. Two, helping Americans buy insurance across state lines. You've mentioned that yourself. Most of the governors I've talked to think that'd be a good way to increase competition. Number three,
yeah, but there has to be federal oversight of that.
Doctors.
Yeah.
In our state,
there
has
to be less regulation on insurance companies.
Pregnant women have to drive to the big city to have prenatal health care or to have their baby because the medical malpractice suits have driven up the insurance policies so high that doctors leave the rural counties. Give states incentives to lower costs, number four. Number five, expanding health savings accounts. Number six, House Republicans have some ideas about how my friend in Tullahoma can continue to afford insurance for his wife who has had breast cancer.
29 minutes after the hour, we join the Healthcare Summit live again after the break.
Stephanie Miller.
A savage, man-eating jungle cat or a purring, satisfied kitty?
Depends if Hal Sparks is around.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he's so yesterday's news. Our marriage has been over for hours now. He's back in L.A. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. We break from the healthcare summit briefly to get the reaction of Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning to you. I know that you are as passionate about health care as I am, and I have to say, not to be partisan, but I thought the president's opening statement was brilliant. It was not partisan, and I found Lamar Alexander so far, I don't know if you've been watching, to be amazingly condescending.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep an eye on it, too. And listen, the optimist in me is hoping that my Republican colleagues there will at least admit that 80-85% of what's in the health care reform packages are things that they've previously agreed to, that they've been advocating themselves.
The pessimist
in me is looking at John Boehner and seeing the stack of paper in front of him and listening to Senator Alexander with his opening statement. And I think if the president had walked in this morning and began his opening statement by saying, all right, we're going to do it your way. We're going to start all over. We're going to let you write the bill. My guess is most Republicans will still vote against it.
I know.
The politics of this right now.
I know. No, yeah. I know. But I just, I thought as usual in this whole year this has been going on, Congressman, I thought the president remarkably conciliatory. And is it me? But I'm sitting here going, did Lamar Alexander just say to the president, that's how it works in a classroom, but this isn't how it works.
But the adults know how things work.
How condescending is that? Obviously it's, a reference to the president having been a professor. Seriously, now he's lecturing him about, senatorial procedure. And it's like, we all understand the history of reconciliation, that it's been used many, many times and mostly by Republicans, right?
Well, it has. Under the Bush administration, 22 times they went to reconciliation for major spending items, most of which was increasing the deficit, as opposed to the history of reconciliation, which was meant to reduce the deficit. And I remember, during that time on the floor complaining to the Republicans that they were abusing the reconciliation process, not because it was majority vote, but because they were increasing the debt by passing the legislation that they were, whether it was the two Bush tax cuts, whether it was the Medicare prescription drug bill, which, by the way, was a $1 trillion price tag over 10 years, not a nickel of it paid for. It was more expensive than the health care reform that we're working on today, but today we're paying for everything and, in fact, would reduce the deficit by $100 billion over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman, here we go again with Lamar Alexander with the clean sheet of paper argument. And I'm like, what do you think we started with a year ago? And we incorporated, as you say, a lot of their ideas, which now they've still voted, are going to vote against it.
Well, and let's just remind people that they had an opportunity to offer a substitute health care reform bill during the debate in the House, and we allowed them that opportunity, and they did offer it, and they didn't even get a plurality of their members to support their own bill. But what their bill did, according to the Congressional Budget Office that analyzed it, is it took a nation with 46 million people uninsured up to 53 million people uninsured over the next 10 years. So their idea of health care reform was adding another 7 million people to the ranks of uninsured in this country. That was the substitute that they offered that most of their own members didn't even care for, and that was their idea on health care reform.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing I don't get. It's Lamar Alexander. What was the other? I'm trying to think. Oh, he said, Jim, help me with this. He said, like, comprehensive legislation never works.
Right.
So what we shouldn't do
because the country is too big for it.
It's too big and complicated. It's a lot of work.
I mean, yeah, in my opinion, we'd be better off if we had comprehensive comprehensive immigration reform. He's trying to use it as an example of, oh, see, this kind of thing never works. You know, I mean, doesn't it give you, it's a perfect example. Remember they were all screaming about amnesty? That's why they were against the comprehensive immigration bill. Well, they just automatically gave those millions and millions of people amnesty by doing nothing, by not even starting on the problem of immigration. And so, you know what I'm saying? And this seems like it's the same thing with health care. It's, oh, no, it's too big. We can't do it.
Well, that's the difficulty with health care reform is it is terribly important, but it is complicated. Let's be honest. I mean, this isn't something that you can just easily piecemeal and address in a piecemeal fashion. Just one example. I think there's unanimous agreement around the country that it's not right for insurance companies to deny people based on pre-existing conditions, and that's currently what they're doing. But if we did that as a standalone, just passed a bill prohibiting insurance companies from denying people based on pre-existing conditions, the result of that would no one would take out health care until they get sick or injured. And that's not how
Congressman,
pool works.
Were you there for Congressman Wiener's speech yesterday?
Yeah, I saw Anthony.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I hope that, you know, we could get some straight talk like that today at this meeting to go, look, they aren't allowed anymore, Congressman Kine, to just sit there and keep saying, I'm for this, when you guys have evidence of the last year, when you put that forward, they voted against it. So don't sit there and say, oh, well, we're interested in lowering costs of health care for families, too. It's like, well, what, you know, put some teeth in it. What is your idea that's going to actually do that, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm all for transparency in that, but I'm afraid this is going to be more of a dog and pony show, people playing to the camera, playing to the base again. And let's be honest, I mean, when you really have to establish relationship and trust and find common ground, that's typically done away from the cameras when people don't have the opportunity to grandstand. And that's why I always thought that this type of summit would have been better at Camp David as opposed to the Blair House. But when it comes time to drafting legislation in the committee, when it comes time to debate it, that should be open to the public review and to full disclosure. But when it comes time to try to find where the common ground really lies, sometimes you got to do some of that talking behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, all you get is just grandstanding on it and playing politics. And that's why I'm not that optimistic we're going to see a whole lot of progress coming out of this meeting.
Yeah, I
do give the president credit. You know, for the past year, he's been reaching out to them. He's gone to their conferences. He's invited them to the White House on numerous occasions. What he's doing today is not something that's suddenly new. He's been doing it all year long. And instead of getting an open palm to shake, he's getting the backhand
from the
Republican Party.
Yeah, Congressman Kine, that's exactly what I was going to say. Just the first few minutes to me said exactly that. Here is the president, remarkably conciliatory. Did you notice he went out of his way to mention Republicans that had good ideas and the specific ones and what they did, and let's solve this together. And then here comes Lamar Alexander, just completely, I thought, condescending and lecturing the president on senatorial rule. And it just was like, oh, come on. You know, I mean, and you're absolutely right. It's like this is what he's gotten over and over when he reaches out. But I appreciate you taking time. We're going to go back and watch. I know you want to. Thank you so much for taking time to check in with us today.
Sure. Anytime, Stephanie.
All right. Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin. Our House Leader Nancy Pelosi is speaking now.
This is not just about health care for America. It's about a healthier America. This legislation is about innovation. It's about prevention. It's about wellness. But most people haven't heard about that. And those people sitting at that kitchen table, they don't want to hear about process. They want to hear about results. They want to know what this means to them. And what it means is a health initiative that is about affordability for the middle class, lowering costs, improving access to them, accessibility. Affordability and accessibility are closely aligned. And accountability for the insurance companies. So it is a very important initiative that we have to take. And I want to say, because Medicare was mentioned, unless we pass this legislation, we cannot keep our promises on Medicare. We simply must make the cuts and waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare so that the benefits and the premiums are untouched. We owe it to our seniors. We owe it to our country. That day, March 5th, Senator Kennedy said, health care is a right, not a privilege. Let us move in a way. Who can say, Ram, we'd started this 6 weeks after your inauguration, 6 weeks after your inauguration, on March 5th, with you extending a hand of bipartisanship, and many of the provisions that are in our bill are initiatives put forth by the Republicans. Others of our colleagues will talk about this. But I just hope that as we sit around this table, we understand the urgency that the American people have about this issue, how it affects not only their health, but their economic security. And I thank you, Mr. President, for your leadership in getting us to this place.
Yes, Mr. President, my friends in the House and in the Senate.
Is someone talking, Jim?
I want to spend a few minutes talking about Nevada.
Oh, that's an unfortunate time.
Our country and not what's going on here in Washington. I want to start by talking about a young man by the name of Jesus Gutierrez. He works hard. He has a restaurant in Reno, Nevada. He had everything that he wanted, except a baby. He had health insurance. He had employees that liked him. But he was fortunate. They were going to have a baby. It was going to be a little girl. And the baby was born. And in just a few minutes after the birth of that baby, he was told that the baby had a cleft palate. But that's okay, he was told. We can take care of that. And they did. They did some surgery on the baby. And he was happy. That is, Jesus was happy. Until he got his mail 4 months later, opened the envelope. And the insurance company said, we didn't realize that your baby had a pre-existing disability. We're not covering the $90,000 in hospital and doctor bills you've already run up. So he's trying to pay that off. The baby needs a couple more surgeries.
Oh.
This shouldn't happen to anyone in America. He had health insurance. He paid his premiums.
Yeah.
I say to my friend Lamar, who I have great respect and admiration for, you're entitled to your opinions, but not your own facts. Your opinion is something that is yours, and you're entitled to that, but not your own set of facts. Senator Moynihan said that many years ago, and that's what we have to do here today. Let's make sure that we talk about facts. Last Monday, a week ago Monday, all over America, the results were run from a poll done by the Kaiser Foundation. It was interesting what that poll said. 58% of Americans would be disappointed or angry if we did not do health care reform this year. 58%. Across America, more than 60% of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents want us to reform the way health care works. Is it any wonder? They want it so that businesses can afford health care. They want to give consumers more choices and insurance companies more competition. And the donut hole. What is the donut hole? Well, a senior citizen will tell you what the donut hole is. Under the Medicare law that is in existence, you can be sick and you can get your medication paid for a while. After you spend $2,000 approximately in medication, you are finished. Until you spend $3,500 more out of your own pocket.
Yep.
What happens
That happened to my mom, who has cancer and is 87.
Yep.
46 minutes after the hour, we will rejoin the Healthcare Summit Live as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. We rejoin the Healthcare Summit Live in progress. Senator Harry Reid speaking.
Many occasions, numerous times about healthcare. We spent most of the last year talking about healthcare. I so admire her tenacity, her legislative brilliance, and I will do everything I can, Mr. President, to get this healthcare reform over the goal line.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much, Harry. Everybody went a little overtime, which is not surprising, with a room full of elected officials. I wanted to give people a little bit of wide berth starting off, but we're going to need to be more disciplined moving forward if we're going to be able to cover every item. And I'll try to set the example here. I just want to address very quickly, Lamar, the issue of process that you raised at the beginning. And then we'll move on and start talking about the specifics. As I listened to your description of the House Senate bill as well as the proposal that I put on our website, obviously there were some disagreements about how you would characterize the legislation. On the other hand, when I listened to some of the steps that you thought Republicans would be open to, I thought, well, a bunch of these things are things that we'd like to do, and in fact are in the
yes.
legislative proposal.
Thank you. Woohoo!
So part of the goal here, I think, is to figure out what are the areas that we do agree on.
That you're relying
on. What are the areas where we don't agree? And at the end of that process, then make an honest assessment as to whether we can bridge these differences. I don't know yet whether we can. My hope is that we can, and I'm going to be very eager to hear and explore how we might be able to do so. So rather than start at the outset talking about legislative process and what's going to happen in the Senate and the House
yep.
and this and that, what I'd suggest is let's talk about the substance, how we might
Thank
help
you.
The American people deal with costs, coverage, insurance, these other issues. And we might surprise ourselves and find out that we agree more than we disagree. And that would then help to dictate how we move forward. It may turn out, on the other hand, there's just too big of a gulf.
Yeah,
and then we'll have
lecture
to figure out how we proceed from there. So that would be my proposal.
Thanks for the memo on how the Senate works.
What I'd like to do then is to start first with something I heard everybody agree on, every single speaker, and that was the issue of cost. It is absolutely true that if all we're doing is adding more people to a broken system, then cost will continue to skyrocket.
Yep.
And eventually, somebody's going to be bankrupt, whether it's the federal government, state governments, businesses, or individual families. So we have to deal with costs. And I haven't heard anybody disagree with that. Now, I've already indicated some statistics, but I just want to reemphasize these. More than a quarter of small businesses have reported a premium increase of 20% or more just last year. 20%. As a consequence, a lot of small businesses have dropped coverage altogether. Fewer than half of businesses with fewer than 10 workers now offer coverage. By one estimate, without health care reform, by the end of the decade, premiums for businesses would more than double in most states. And the total cost per employee is expected to rise to more than $28,000. So you can imagine what that does to hiring, what that means for incomes, and you can imagine how many families are going to be unable to afford insurance. As I mentioned earlier, I hear stories from people all the time about how these costs have very concrete impacts on their lives. I spoke to a family, the Lynx, from Nashville, Tennessee. They've always tried to do right by their workers with their family-run company, but they had to do the unthinkable and lay off employees because their health care costs were too high. I've talked to other business people who say, we were going to hire, but we decided not to when we got our monthly premiums.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the goals that I set out very early on in this process was, how do we control costs? Now, what we have done, as I mentioned earlier, was to try to take an idea that is not just a Democratic idea, but actually is a Republican idea, which is to set up exchanges. These are pools where people can come in and get the same purchasing power as members of Congress do as part of the federal employees' health care plan, as people who are lucky enough to work with big businesses can do, because there are a lot of employees in those big businesses. What we've said is that if you join one of these exchanges, you will have choice and you'll have competition. You will have a menu of private insurance options that you'll be able to purchase, but because you're not purchasing it on your own, you're purchasing it as part of a big group, you're going to be able to get lower costs.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Oh.
What? Why does Wolf have to take a quick break, for God's sakes?
I don't know.
What's Wolf got to do?
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go.
What I want to emphasize is that even without the subsidies, it's estimated by the Congressional Budget Office that the plan we put forward
would lower
amazing the costs in the individual market for the average person who's just trying to buy health insurance and they're not lucky enough to work for a big company, would lower their costs by between 14 and 20%. So, Lamar, when you mentioned earlier that you said premiums go up, that's just not the case according to the Congressional Budget Office.
Mr. President, if you're going to contradict
yes, thank
me,
you.
I'll have
all yeah. right, 58 minutes after the hour. Just that's not backed up by, facts or numbers.
Right.
But once again, thanks for the lecture on everything. 58 minutes after the hour. Is it me? Am I just a geek or am I fascinated with this?
It's kind of cool.
Healthcare Summit.
It's kind of cool.
All right. We will rejoin the Healthcare Summit as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. We rejoin the Healthcare Summit Live, where Dr. Tom Coburn is speaking for the Republicans. He has credibility, Jim, because
he's a doctor.
Who once sterilized a woman without her consent in Oklahoma. Okay, here we go.
What's the other area? What we do know, and I'm guilty of this, Dr. Barrasso's guilty of it, Dr. Bustiani's guilty of it, is a large portion of the tests we order every day aren't for patients. They're for doctors. And the reason they're there is because we are risk averse to the tort system and extortion system that's out there today in healthcare. And there are a lot of ways to fix that. But I just went through last night. If you add up what Thomson Reuters, which looked at all the studies that have been done and combined them in, they say between $625 billion and $850 billion a year of healthcare dollars are wasted. So it seems to me if cost is the number one thing that's keeping people from getting care, then the efforts of us as we go after cost ought to be to go to those areas where the cost is wasted.
There's a
philosophical difference in how we do that. One wants more government-centered approach to that. I would personally prefer a more patient-centered, market-oriented approach to that. But nevertheless, there's where we can come together. Just on those two areas where we can cut costs.
The government plan is patient-centered.
That's right.
And that's for everybody in the country.
Yeah, like the insurance company is a patient-centered program.
In this country, if tomorrow everybody's health care costs went down 15%, access would markedly increase. So what I would hope we would do is that we would go back and concentrate on the areas that have the biggest pot of gold for us. And the biggest pot of gold is we don't incentivize prevention. We don't pay rewards for a great management of chronic disease. We have a system throughout the country where we're encouraging lawsuits that aren't productive for the country. And what they actually do is cause the cost of health care to go through the roof. We also know there's some other real things that we ought to address. There are conflicts of interest within the medical field. There's nothing wrong with addressing those and taking those off. We know that we absolutely do not incentivize prevention. And I'm not talking about creating walking paths. I'm talking about paying people who actually do a good job to do prevention. Talking about changing the school lunch programs where it meets the needs, nutritional needs of Americans.
The insurance industry.
That's right.
The food stamp program where it incentivizes people to eat the right things, not the wrong things. We actually create more diabetes through the food stamp program and the school lunch program than probably any other thing because we're not feeding offering and incentivizing a great response.
Also, one time I had a hangnail. And
I think it's great that we're coming together.
At band camp, look over here.
Isn't he going over time?
Yes. One time at band camp, I got beat up by a kid who grew up to be a trawler.
And say, how do we come together and actually achieve a reduction in the extortion that goes on in this country in terms of medical malpractice? And there's lots of ways to do that without us mandating to the states. I know some of you have some of that in this new thoughts in terms of incentivizing states to do that. How do we do that in terms of creating an elimination of fraud? You know, when you compare the private sector fraud rates, it's 1% compared to Medicare and Medicaid. You know, there's estimates that there's $15 billion worth of fraud in Medicaid a year in New York City alone.
So we should scrap
it. We haven't attacked that. We haven't gone where the money is. And my hope would be that we would look at where the money is. And if truly it's accurate, and I don't know many people that will disagree that $1 in $3 doesn't help somebody get well and doesn't prevent them, then we ought to be going for that $1 in $3. And we ought to do it not by creating a whole bunch of new government programs,
no,
but by creating an incentive to reward people. You, in your new bill, you have good fraud programs, but you lack the biggest thing to do. The biggest thing on fraud is to have undercover patients so that people know we're checking on whether or not this is a legitimate bill. And you don't know who's an undercover patient and who's not. And all of a sudden, you start changing your attitude of whether or not you're going to milk Medicare or you're going to milk Medicaid. So,
Mr. President, if I could just say that I'm not an expert on much, but I am filibusters. And we've got 40 members of Congress here.
So, Tom, you made some powerful points. You want to just wrap up real quick?
No, I'll just finish with that. Is with $1 out of $3 not helping everybody, we ought to go for where it is.
Well, Tom, I appreciate what you said. I think we're going to have Steny Hoyer go next. I just want to make this quick point. Every good idea that we've heard about reducing fraud and abuse in the Medicare and Medicaid system, we've adopted in our legislation. So that's an example of where we agree. We want to eliminate
fraud and
abuse
fail, moron,
within the government systems. Let's recognize, though, that those savings in the government systems, which will help taxpayers and allow us to do more, doesn't account for the rising costs in the private marketplace. Now, the private marketplace, you mentioned the issue of medical malpractice and frivolous lawsuits, and I, as you indicated, these are areas where Secretary Sebelius has already begun to try to give states some incentives to do that. On the prevention side, there's a whole host of provisions inside the legislation that's been passed by the House and the Senate, and I think Steny will talk about it. So we've identified some areas we agree on, and then the question just is, does that help the average family in the individual market who potentially can get costs? But Steny,
let me just respond one thing.
Oh, come on.
You get cost shifted every penny that gets wasted in Medicare. And that gets cost shifted to the private sector. So if, in fact, we're wasting it in the public sector, we're shifting it to the private sector.
You and I agree on this. Steny?
Mr. President, thank you very much. A quote I will use is, we should have available and affordable health care to every American citizen, to every family. I suppose there are a whole lot of every Americans and American families listening to us today and watching us. And they're hoping that we're all sitting around here talking about them, not about us. That's the message they're sending to all of us. And they're absolutely correct. And we believe that we have been addressing them and trying to get some of these stories that all of us hear to a place where they won't be so tragic for individuals and for families. Every one of us.
Democratic Councilman Jordy Lee.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, funny. They let
that
Tom
was the
Goldberg
nicest
talk.
Way anyone's ever said, shut up, you moron.
Yeah. Well, we can go back to it.
Yeah, what do you mean?
A woman I know well called me up. She said, Stenny, I was just diagnosed with a tumor, and I've got to be operated on. I don't have any insurance. My husband makes $28,000. I work part-time and make about $5,000. She says, we're making too much money for Medicaid, and we're going to go to the University of Maryland Hospital. They want 50% down of a $25,000 bill. She doesn't have that. And we're working on that, trying to get her some additional help. Hopefully we can. I had a small business in my district, like all of you, who last year paid $1,100. Couple, healthy, paid $1,100. Their bill is going to go up to $1,830 next year. That's a 67% increase. They called me up and said, we don't know that we can afford to keep our small business going. So all of us, John McCain, my good friend, that was your quote, as you probably recall, in the debate that you had with President Obama. And the good thing was that both of you, in effect, said the same thing, that we need to get to the objective of covering all Americans and having them have access to affordable health care. We agree with that. I think probably everyone around this table agrees to it. So what we're going to talk about is the how. Cost containment is clearly one of those issues that we need to deal with. Cost containment for that small business that is having a 67% increase. Cost containment for that woman who can't afford insurance but has a health care issue that she can't avoid. It's not optional for her. So we have to deal with that. Many in my caucus believe that one way of doing that is to increase competition, to have an open, free market that is transparent. I think all of us around this table agree that a free market does that.
Yep.
An open market, a transparent market, where people can compare prices and compare
people.
What they're going to get.
They're competition people, the Republicans.
Why do Republicans hate competition?
These bills. Did a little differently, but that's what we tried to do.
Why do they hate free market principles?
We can get agreement on doing that.
Why do they hate capitalism so much?
I don't know.
They're a bunch of commies.
Why am I such a capitalist pig compared to most Republicans?
Yeah, why is that?
Why?
Must be your Republican roots.
That $1 in $3 is not being spent as effectively.
I just had really the worst thought in my thought bubble, and I can't say it because it's, you know, the tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Oh.
But I was thinking of a different setting for this that I wish was taking place when Coburn was talking.
Health information technology.
Not SeaWorld.
Shush! See? I didn't say it!
The costs out. And did not. In addition, you speak eloquently.
I know you could read thought bubbles on Skype.
Bringing fraud, waste, and abuse out of this system. I know you're happy to have seen in our bill.
Okay, let's take a break and pretend we didn't say that. Okay, 17 minutes.
Well, you need to pretend you didn't think that.
Shut up. He just kept interrupting the president, saying the same stupid points over and over again. 17.
You shouldn't think things like that, because I can read
your
thought bubble.
Awful. Do not play a splash sound effect. That is awful. There is not even a... Mr. President! 17 minutes.
Where did he go?
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How fast could your business take off if it was featured by me in an upcoming LegalZoom spot? Stay tuned. February is National Start Your Business Month, and LegalZoom is making it simple and affordable to start your business and take it to the next level. Whether your business is just getting off the ground, a work-from-home, or already thriving business, chances are you need some important legal documents. Maybe it's time to incorporate or file a DBA, or maybe you want a trademark. LegalZoom can save you a bundle on virtually any legal document. If you completed at LegalZoom this month, you could be featured in an upcoming LegalZoom spot. Plus, when you incorporate or form an LLC through LegalZoom this month, you'll get a free website design and marketing package, including domain name and hosting for 30 days. It's National Start a Business Month. Get moving with LegalZoom. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but was started by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction. February is National Start a Business Month. For even more savings, enter Stephanie at checkout. Go now, LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Stop. Stop it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm just saying.
No,
I'm sorry. Lamar Alexander and Tom Coburn annoyed me a little bit, and they bitched so much, Jim, about the setting for the healthcare summit. I'm just saying.
Where your room is. Table.
Saying. SeaWorld. Just saying.
Is being drowned by a killer whale a pre-existing condition?
Oh.
I don't know.
Too soon.
Okay.
Too soon.
I'm sorry. I took us down this path, and I
yes, you did.
Okay, I think so far we're getting the result we thought, right? It's like it's the televised version of what's been happening for the year. The president is reaching out, trying to find bipartisan consensus, and
they're filibustering,
being obstructionist
as Harry
tools.
Reed pointed out.
What's that?
They're filibustering, as Harry Reid pointed out.
Yeah, exactly.
I do know about filibusters. That's worse.
I mean, and that's the. I mean, the president made such a good point. Here they are already bitching and whining about reconciliation, and the president's like, "How about if we try to solve the problem first before we talk about what's going to happen afterwards?"
Right. Like
what, you know, I mean, it's just this is why they're there, is to try. And thank God, like I said, the president has been calling them every time and going, yeah, well, that's in there. Oh, okay, you want, yeah, well, that's in there.
Yeah, that's in there, Tom. You know it is.
That's the problem is that, you know, he's counting on the American people not knowing that all that stuff is in there. I mean, seriously, he's making them look like dunces, like they haven't read the bill, you know. Excuse me, have you read the bills? Maybe you should do that before you open your yap. All right, is it on still, Chris?
It is.
Who's on? Okay, who's on?
They're not showing who's on.
If they self-insure, being able to avoid the 50 state mandates, being able to lower their administrative costs because they're not having to deal with that, and it will lower the cost of premiums for these small businesses and allow them to insure more people and to keep people they're already insured on the books, because we all know stories like we've heard here, small businesses that are saying, I can no longer provide insurance for my employees. Right. Small businesses have been asking for this for years. It's not a new idea.
Right.
They've been asking for it for years, and we think it's a far better way to get these economies of scale than the exchange thing that's in the huge bill.
Stop with the huge bill.
Businesses to be able to lower their costs exactly the same way that large businesses do.
You think Mitch McConnell's going to bring a big bill in here in a wheelbarrow? You're wrong, Mr. President.
Max is going to go, and then I'll go to you, Rob. Max,
Jim, can you imagine if we said this for civil rights or Medicare or Social Security?
Right.
It's comprehensive.
It's too complicated.
It's too big.
Oh, we can't give rights to everybody. That's crazy.
Well, first, I'd like to say something that just strikes me, just in spades. Frankly, we all studied this issue a lot, health care reform. We basically know what the problems are, all of us. We basically know the need. The current system is unsustainable. We are actually quite close. There's not a lot of difference. Close in the sense that, without being corny and dramatic about this, if the American people want us to do something that's just basically reasonable, doesn't have to be one congressman, one senator's provision, but basically reasonable, we are on the verge and the cusp with not too much effort to try to bridge a lot of gaps here, because the gaps, in my judgment, are not that great. Let's take the list, for example, that Lamar mentioned. As you said, Mr. President, we are basically including most of those provisions, if not all, in our joint legislation. Sell insurance across state lines, for example. We allow for that, not exactly in the way that some would, but sure, with compacts. And once the state exchanges are up, people will be able to find some insurance across state lines and achieve that competition. In addition, you mentioned lawsuits. Secretary Sebelius is working to try and find ways to encourage states to settle, resolve issues before they become big, bad lawsuits. Add to that, Lamar says we should find ways for states to be able to lower their costs, so we do that. We let states opt out. They can do what they want to do. And Senator Wyden also has a proposal. Senator Cantwell has a proposal. We give a lot of flexibility in that regard. Expand HSAs. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with HSAs. But we also have to have products for poorer people, lower-income people. HSAs work pretty well if you have middle or high income. Pre-existing conditions, clearly, we all agree on that. We have those provisions in our bill.
Respect to small business, we're not that far apart. Some suggest association health plans, where small business people can band together in an association pool and get better insurance. That's fine. What we provide for in our legislation is something similar. It's called the SHOP Act. Various senators, bipartisan, have worked on this. And basically, it allows sets up a small business arrangement in exchanges. Small business participates in their own exchange and gets the advantage of all the pooling. And then they can do what fellow employees do today. They can shop and compare and to get the best deal. And I would guess that most small businessmen would like to do that. I might add that we're also providing tax incentives, tax credits for businesses, small business, that wants to purchase health insurance for its employees.
Most it's Americans have no idea what's in these bills.
No.
Like, oh, really? Oh, that's all in there. My Republican tool told me it wasn't. What? Huh? All right, 29 minutes after the hour. We will get to Right Wing World and Tinsel Talk when we stop geeking out over the healthcare summit as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I thought she'd be old and fragile like most cougars, but Kitty's got claws.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. We're not done geeking out, as it turns out, over the healthcare summit. I am the biggest geek ever.
You really are.
We rejoined the healthcare summit live.
1.3% for individuals in 2007 to 2008, and declined 5.4% for families in that same period. And when people
I don't know yet.
PPO, a preferred provider organization, to a health savings account, their premiums declined by an average of $3,800. Now, another concern I have is the Senate bill, which on page 982 creates an unelected board charged with recommending even more Medicare reductions. And if Congress doesn't accept these recommendations, they have to find other Medicare spending to cut instead. And that gives, I think, too much authority to unelected
Dave Camp.
Bureaucrats, okay, rather than to elected representatives of the people.
And the power to just, Mr. President, that sounds sorry. That
whether to cut Medicare and by how much. Now, holding down health care costs for the government is important, but I think it's also important to hold on costs for families and employees.
Dave, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're going to have a whole section talking about deficits, and we can talk about the changes in Medicare. We were trying to focus on costs related to lowering families. And you know, the only concern I've got is, look, if every speaker, at least on one side, is going through every provision and saying what they don't like, it's going to be hard for us to see if we can arrive at some agreements on things that we all agree on. So I don't want to try to cut you off. Please finish up, but I just want to kind of point out that
I do want to say on this issue on premiums, CBO in their letter on page 4 does say that the estimated average premium per person for non-group policies would increase by 10 to 13%.
This is the discussion that I just had about Lamar.
Yes.
And they
do say that, and they do say that the value of the benefit is higher, and that is why it goes up. But
right,
the reason the value of the benefit is higher is because of the mandates contained in the legislation. And this is one of our big concerns with a lot of the issues that have been raised. Yes, we have similarities, but when all of this is structured around
that was a Jim Ward sign, not the president.
Right.
That sets the standard for these policies. States can't get out of these requirements unless they seek a waiver from the secretary. That kind of approach raises costs, and so both of your comments were correct that costs do go up, and it's because they have a richer benefit, but the reason it's richer is because of the mandates contained in these very large bills.
Okay, I'm going to let Rob, feel free to respond to anything that Dave indicated or to any of the other issues that have been discussed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank my friend Tom Coburn and John Klein for
the spirit of conversation which they offered and try to carry that forward a little bit. The president asked at the beginning of this, what ideas do we share about cutting costs?
And Mr. Tom, I'm only seeing Wolf Blitzer's giant constipated mug.
You know what? There's not a Chiron on the channel I'm watching.
Medicare, yeah. Once you can't,
and it's someone I don't recognize.
Again. Wellness, there's a lot of good ideas in the bills. Junk lawsuits, I think that there's what Secretary Sebelius is doing is very important in curtailing that. And then the president asked the question about whether...
Representative Bob Andrews, Democrat of New Jersey.
Okay.
Pooling the purchasing power of small businesses and individuals so they can get the same deal that big companies and members of Congress get. And my friend John Klein talked about the Association Health Plan proposal. Respectfully, John, I think that what you're talking about with association health plans and what we're talking about with exchanges is a semantic difference. It's a matter of pooling the purchasing power of small businesses and individuals
right.
to get a better deal.
But
there is
one my geek fest for the moment.
Are you?
Yeah, just for the moment. I feel like I want to hear Jim Dutica Morris falling on a sack of hammers.
Oh, okay.
Let's dive into the right-wing world because it's essentially all the same crap you're hearing today. They were already getting panicky yesterday. Dick Morris trying the old death panel thing one more time before the big summit. Mm.
If you come to the doctor and you say, I want bypass surgery, or he says you need bypass surgery, or you need a heart transplant, they have to assess whether they give you the care according to
how
bill,
old you
based
are,
on qualities.
Right.
Quality adjusted
like
life years. 80 years old, diabetic, high blood pressure, overweight, no. And I'm sorry, that does mean you're going to die.
Okay.
I got all of those.
Yeah, I got all of those things. They're trying to kill me because I got all those things. They're not going to treat me because I'm not just one giant pre-existing condition. I can...
I got all of those because the doctor says I've been eating until I'm the size of a human beanbag chair.
Wow. That just that gets better with every telling the whole death panel lie.
And he tells it on every single
Fox News
show.
He didn't see Keith Olbermann's.
Oh, wasn't it brilliant,
yeah.
Jim? Just how it's a life panel, and he's anyone that's going through it like he's going through it with his father understands that. Yeah. It's just ugh. Oh, hey, did you hear the end of it? Just it echoes his father's words: "Help, help, help."
Mm-hmm.
That's what the American people are saying in such huge numbers. Newt Gingrich, this is a Chicago. Oh, this is like a. Oh, I see. The president's about to whip out bats and stuff soon.
Sure.
It's a Chicago thug approach he's using.
What you're seeing is a Chicago machine politics approach that basically says, if we can run over you and mug you, then we're going to get away with it. And I think what they don't understand is that this is not Chicago, that the United States is not going to tolerate
Chicago's
a group
not in
of
the United
people
States.
Trying to apply kind of a Hugo Chavez majoritarian rule in the Senate. I don't think it'll happen. If it did happen, I don't think the House would pass whatever came out of the Senate. I think the country would be so enraged.
Oh, yeah. Because the country was so enraged when they jammed through the tax cuts for the top 1% that got us to this deficit, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was quite a... Mm-hmm.
It's just just talking points. Chicago,
I know.
Politics. Hugo Chavez, Castro.
Yeah, it's going to be a Chicago street fight here in a second. That's what's going to happen.
You know, I think the Republicans are just throwing up chaff just to bore people to death and say, we don't really need this. It's too complicated.
You know, the Hal Sparks and I witnessed the other day is a good old-fashioned New York cabbie cab fight where they got out of their cabs and stuff.
Really?
And started making various obscene gestures.
They do that there?
I can only hope that this will devolve into that in an hour or two, the healthcare
It'll be a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Indian guy that was actually doing kind of the Italian thing for, with his arm.
Right.
But yeah, And Hal was recounting where, I think it was when he lived in London, they had Hutus and Tutsis as cab drivers, those were some serious cab fights.
Yeah,
all the other cabs would come from that sect, and there would be lots of bats and...
So is this one Pakistani versus Indian?
I don't know. But I'm just saying...
They would have broken out the nuclear weapons.
To the healthcare summit in a minute. It could go
Talk about a nuclear option.
Yeah.
It could go Hall Roadhouse in my favorite new reference because it's, my new favorite Patrick Swayze movie because I was up all night watching. Okay. Are you going
to
play me my Roadhouse montage?
Hal got you to watch it,
didn't you? Yes, I wanted to
turn into Roadhouse.
I do.
Roadhouse.
I'm all fired up because I watched Roadhouse the other night.
The only message in that movie is that every problem in life can be solved by kicking.
We need to get a little more Roadhouse on their ass.
Oh, my God. You're right.
1,990 pages.
It's all been behind closed doors.
The government takeover of our health care system.
Death panel.
And Medicare cuts and tax increases. They want us to stop and start over.
Roadhouse. That was awesome. And its message is timeless.
Roadhouse. And its message is timeless.
It's. I think most things can be solved by kicking. Okay. I think the boner will spin on his back kicking by the end of this. And then he'll be
like
made
a break dancer
at the kids' table.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh. Huh. All right.
I can't
Hannity.
Wait what he has to say.
Hannity on the...
It almost takes your breath away, the arrogance, doesn't it? Oh, the fact that they're so tone-deaf to the American people. I can't even explain it. It's dumb politically. Not only bad for the country, but it's just not bright politically. I can't... It's unexplainable to me.
It's uppity.
Everything's unexplainable to you, Sean. You're not smart.
That little tic-tac in your brain.
Because you have a huge head with a brain the size of a tic-tac. Yeah, the Obama's arrogance, you know, that's code, Jim.
Of course. He's uppity.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on the healthcare summit.
Look, I think this is not about real compromise or finding a middle way. This is all about theater. It's a two-act production tomorrow, 6 hours long. You know, and Obama production presents the children of light against the apostles of nihilism.
Oh, stop it.
That's exactly how he staked it out. And I think his whole idea is to present an event in which he gets the upper hand or the Republicans produce a sound bite that is embarrassing.
And they will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
pretty much all of them.
Just turn on their microphones and they will. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the
Well, look, Obama, I think, is treading water on jobs. He thinks he needs health care, A, because he believes in it, but secondly, because he thinks he comes away with nothing after a year on health care. He'll be wounded in a way that he'll never recover from.
Hmm.
And that's exactly the Republican strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Shut it
treading
down.
Water in that the jobs bill just passed yesterday. Maybe you didn't get that memo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's treading water, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, O'Reilly on the...
Many Americans are frightened. They see the Obama administration spending record amounts of money, funds the country doesn't have.
Oh. Oh.
And there are controversies over terrorism, taxation, and other things important to the folks. Mm-hmm. So, yes, some Tea Party people are in the game because they're afraid. But Talking Points doesn't think that's a bad thing.
No.
Fear is a tremendous motivator. If you think your roof's going to collapse and you build a stronger roof, that's positive, is it not?
Yeah, but they don't want to build a stronger roof. They want to burn down their neighbor's house.
Right.
Exactly.
With nuclear weapons.
All right, here's O'Reilly with some movie references about the healthcare summit today.
I think this is high noon. I think this is, you know, did you ever see that movie Tombstone?
Mm-hmm.
When you got the
Earps Absolutely.
And the Clantons and they're walking down the street and they got the guns and they're ready to go. I don't see anybody backing off tomorrow. Both parties know that this is a battle for public opinion. It's not a battle for the healthcare bill.
No,
it's not.
Of course not.
It's not what's going on tomorrow. Nope. This is a battle for hearts and minds. This is a battle for November. This is a battle for Congress.
Yeah, Jim, I think you're right. In the end, it's going to be like that scene from Indiana Jones. Bye-bye. Okay, here's what I brought. I brought the pistol. There you go. Okay. There's you. It's going to be like the when the president got that fly. You know, you have that sound effect, Chris. The when the president hit the fly. Come on. Where's my kung fu? All right.
Oh.
45 Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more of the healthcare summit. And if we, you know, we get tired geeking out again, we'll go to Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Senator Chuck Schumer is speaking at the healthcare summit.
Don't do any of that. That's something that I think we can come together on, I thank you.
Brother, can we turn to John? I'm sorry.
Sure, I'm sorry. You had John. We're going to go to John, and then we're going to go to Jim Clyburn, and then I think we're going to take a break because we've run out of time. So, John.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think you framed the issue very well just a moment ago, because there are some fundamental differences between us here that we cannot paper over. And, Mr. President, when you said that this is a philosophical debate and it's a legitimate debate, I agree with that. We do not agree about the fundamental question of who should be mostly in charge. And you identified this question as central. Do you trust the states or do you trust Washington? Do you trust patients and doctors making the decision or do you trust Washington? Now, there's a mix of both, of course.
What about insurance companies?
But there is a big difference between our approaches. And there is so much in the bills that you've supported that puts control in Washington that we have a very difficult time supporting those provisions. And it's not a matter of just saying we all agree on the goal of reducing waste, fraud, and abuse. We all do, of course. It's how you do it. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. Dave Camp, I think, pointed out the answer to the dispute that you and Lamar Alexander had a moment ago, and he was exactly right. Let me quote from the Congressional Budget Office letter. This is from Doug Elmendorf to Evan Bayh, November 30th, 2009. Quote, CBO and Joint Tax Committee estimate that the average premium per person covered, including dependents, for new non-group policies would be about 10% to 13% higher in 2016 than the average premium for non-group coverage in the same year under current law. Oliver Wyman, a very respected third-party group, says it's even more, about 54% in my state of Arizona, 72% increase. Why is it so? For a variety of reasons, but one of which both you and Dave Camp agreed on. It is a richer benefit. How did it get that way? Because the federal government would mandate it under your legislation in the insurance exchanges. And as a result, there would be a higher cost. How does this happen? There is an actuarial requirement of 60% actuarial value in the exchange for the least costly plan. But the average in the country today of a high deductible plan is 48%. The range today is 40 to 80%, and the average is between 55 and 60. So what the government is doing here is saying we're going to mandate that the insurance cover more things than it does right now, and therefore the cost is going to go up. Second example, you say, how can we help small businesses?
I've had enough of him. Yeah, Jim, they might have to cover things when people actually get sick, and that would...
Can't have that. Aren't they going to make a profit?
Yeah, exactly. That might hurt the insurance companies. You know, if they were being honest, wouldn't they just open every sentence with, but Mr. President, that's going to hurt the insurance companies.
Yeah. Right. That would be honest, at least.
That's what Anthony Weiner would say.
Exactly. Let me rephrase that. Each and every Republican I've ever met in my life is a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. Oh.
Does that include your mother?
Can I just say our wiener beats their boner? By a mile. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right, let's do a little celebrity stack. I'm sorry, I have to clear the Republicans from my craw.
Okay.
And I do the Stephanie Miller Show. I wish just to apologize. I am sorry for what popped into my thought bubble, which I was not going to share, except Chris dragged it out of me. That I did for a moment when Tom Comberg was speaking, because they bitched so much about the venue, I did briefly wish that they had held it at SeaWorld. Not that anything would happen. It's just, you know, that. And the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay. You know, Jim, you and I have had this conversation before. I'm a big animal lover, and here's going to sound crazy. I think perhaps wild animals belong in the wild. Because they're saying, one of the trainers is saying it could have been play behavior, and perhaps people shouldn't play with killer whales.
Yeah, perhaps people shouldn't have half coyotes as pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my friend.
Off leash.
Yes, my friend has a half coyote dog.
Then you're going to wind up with a lot of half animals lying around.
And maybe
even half eaten by the half coyote.
Half infants, too.
Well, he's never done that. But my point is...
He never did the seagull until he attacked...
Don't own a half coyote.
I know, but your friend, the half coyote never attacked a seagull until it attacked a seagull and killed it.
Yes, in front of a family.
Right.
Okay, but anyway, but you know, it's like even when you watch that horrible the Siegfried and Roy thing, you're like going, yeah, you know, I don't think a tiger probably likes to be tapped on the nose like that with a stick. I don't really think that's...
According to either Siegfried and Roy, I keep forgetting which was which, he said that the other guy, I think it was Roy, had a, actually had a stroke, and the tiger thought he was saving him by dragging him by his neck, because that's what mother tigers do with their babies, with a scruff on
that's
the neck.
What I'm, but that's what they're saying, is the killer whales exhibit this behavior in the wild, and it could have been
the
whatever.
They wasn't even trying to hurt him, but because he's a tiger, he did what
tigers do.
Right.
I was saying earlier, Chris, and these were the actual incidents. Obviously, this is not the first attack on whale trainers at SeaWorld Parks. In November 2006, a trainer was bit and held underwater several times by a killer whale during a show. She had attacked this this trainer two other times in 93 and 99. In 2004, another whale at the company San Antonio Park tried to hit one of the trainers, attempted to bite him. In December, a whale drowned a trainer at a Spanish zoo at the Orlando SeaWorld. Oh, I remember this, because this was a little odd. A naked man was found draped over a 5-ton orca in July 1999. He had either, and then they decided to either jump. He'd snuck it into the park. It was a very odd story, but he no, let me get to that. He either jumped, fell, or was pulled into the whale tank, and then the autopsy, you know, ruled that he died of hypothermia, but he said it also the whale had bit him and tore off his swim trunks, likely believing that he was a toy to play with or something. But, I'm just saying. Wild animals, perhaps that's why the first part of that, Jim, is wild.
Don't keep an orca in your swimming pool. That's
if I go to SeaWorld, which I rarely do anymore, it's for the rides. It's not for the shows. I don't like the shows.
Yeah.
There goes that SeaWorld account.
Were we that close to getting the SeaWorld
account? Yeah, damn it.
Did you hear about Miss Beverly Hills 2010, Lauren Ashley?
Yeah, there was an update to this story since I sent you the story, but tell the first part of the story.
She's going to be competing in the Miss California pageant. She told Fox News she's not only is she against same-sex marriage, but she thinks it's divine law that gays should be put to death because the Bible is pretty black and white on that.
Sure.
And the update is what?
The city of Beverly Hills has announced that they do not have a Miss Beverly Hills pageant.
She's just a garden variety homophobe. It doesn't have a title of any kind.
Yes.
All right, we'll have more on that tomorrow. 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Miranda Moreno. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.